of the Hijjah. And under this circumstances, the bay'ah went to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Ali ibn Abi Talib became Khalifa. And after that, we know from our knowledge of Islamic history that the entire time of the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib became times of tribulation and time of fitna, what is known in Islamic history as al-fitna al-kubra, the great fitna, or the great tribulation of this Muslims, that we, subhanAllah, continue to suffer some of the results of that particular fitna, and we feel some of that fitna which erupts every now and then in the Muslim world. So to study the events of the fitna and to study the events of the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, the source of that study is extremely important, because after the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib, those who disputed the Khilafah with him became in a position of power. And for about 70 years, the writings and the time, whatever is written in that time, was basically against Ali ibn Abi Talib. Then it came times later on where people that are proponents of Ali ibn Abi Talib became in position of power. So writings in that time became way against anybody who was in opposition of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and labeled some of them as non-Muslim, as leaving the millah of Islam. So there are two extremes in some of the history books. And one of the best references, which is very important to know, where the things that inshallah will bring on and speak of to study these events are coming from. And the source, as I said, is extremely important. And the best source that is considered among Muslim scholars as thiqah, as trustworthy, of taken from, is a book by Al-Imam al-Tabari, by Tariq, known as Tariq al-Tabari. Now, who is al-Tabari? Who is this Imam? Before we study these events, we need to know where we're getting this information from. Imam al-Tabari is known and renowned in Muslim history as the founder of the science of recording the history of Islam. He is one of the people that actually started recording Islamic history as a separate entity, as history of Muslims. And he lived in the 3rd century of Hijrah. He lived between 224 Hijrah to 310 of Hijrah. And al-Tabari had many books written about Islam. Not only the history of Islam, and this is what we're going to take from him, inshallah, but if you go and you look in the tafsir of Qur'an, the interpretation of the meaning of the Qur'an, you will see the tafsir al-Tabari is one of the most renowned tafsir of Qur'an. And so he was not only alim, not only a scholar in history, he was also a scholar in tafsir al-Qur'an. And he also had knowledge of fiqh. He has a book called Latif al-Qawli fi Ahkami Shara'i' al-Islam, which is a full book of fiqh, of the sharia of Islam. And he studied as a Shafi'i, but later on he wrote that book and he collected the hadith, and he had a madhab that is known as Madhab al-Tabari, which is now extinct, which is not present anymore, but that was his rank among the ulama, among the scholars, is he had his own madhab, and it was a known madhab at that time. So most of the scholars that written about the events of the fitna, and they wanted to go into a trustworthy source, they went to the book of Imam al-Tabari, which list and speak of these events in great detail. And the quotation that al-Tabari left for us, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, and his book are really the reference, and they are the mirror to the psychology and what was going on at the time of the fitna inside the heads and the hearts of people who got involved in it, of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. So the other book that I used is basically a book written by Abdul Wahab al-Najjar, and it's called Al-Khulafa al-Rashidun, and most of the quotation, most of the reference that was made from Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabari, from the book of al-Tabari. Be that as it may, we continue, inshallah, and speak of the events that were around the khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu ibn Affan was killed on a Friday, the 18th of Dhul-Hijjah, on 35 years after Hijrah. Now we remember when we studied the seerah of Uthman ibn Affan, what happened? Rebels against Uthman ibn Affan were made outside Medina, outside the city of Medina, the capital of Islam. They were made in the territories that were known as Al-Ansar. And they were made mostly and gathered by a person named Abdullah ibn Saba. And we studied about Abdullah ibn Saba and how he entered Islam trying to destroy and disrupt the structure of Islam. And those people are known as As-Saba'iyun or As-Saba'iyya, the people that followers of Abdullah ibn Saba. Abdullah ibn Saba never announced his intentions, obviously, and always tried to play the events through other people, through recommendations and through things and through the waswasa, through the infusion of poison into the heads of other people that did not have enough knowledge of Islam, or those who had other goals into the Muslim khilafah and into the Muslim government and trying to get attain power or money through the work of Abdullah ibn Saba. The Saba'iyun came to Al-Madinah from mostly three Amsar. We will study that a little bit more. From Al-Kufa, from Al-Basra, and from Misr, from Egypt. Al-Sham, they tried to work in Al-Sham, but they had a strong opposition in the presence of Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anh, because he was a governor over Al-Sham. He was an emir for 20 years. So he was well established and he was in full control of that territory, and he was emir on the entire Sham, which is multiple imaras. There was the imara, the principality of Dimashq, of Damascus, and there was the principality of Homs, and there were Palestine. And Ali and Muawiyah was governor on all of them, and he was the only one and the first one to gather all of those territories into one. So after the rebels flooded Medina in a time where a lot of people were in Mecca, they were the dominant force. And this is very important for us to understand what was the atmosphere in Medina at the time of the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. Is these rebels were in charge. These rebels were in control. There were so many of them. The number of the people that actually came as the initial rebels was about 1,800 of them. And then they gathered what is known in the book's history as Ghawgha al-Madinah, the ignorant laymen of al-Madinah that supported their call and listened to them. And there were many Arab, there were many people of the Arabic tribes around them that either followed them because of tribal loyalty, they belonged to them, to their clan, or they were basically bribed by promises and by money and by power. So the entire number of the rebels against Uthman ibn Affan that were in Medina and they were in control of the streets of al-Medina varies in history books between 5,000 and 10,000 between the rebels and their supporters. Now al-Medina had no big army. Number one, most of the settlers in al-Medina were in the season of Hajj outside Medina. But yet, most people that have embraced Islam and most of the Sahaba were out, were in Iraq, were in Faris, in Persia, were in they were guarding the Thughur, the fortresses of Islam, the borders of Islam. Al-Sham had 60,000 fighters guarding the Muslim territory against an invasion from Byzantium. There were soldiers in North Africa. So most of the power of Islam, the Muslim army was not in the capital, was not in Medina, were all outside. And they all followers to their own local governors. So the Khalifa had a moral authority and had a religious and spiritual authority over people, but he did not have the soldiers under him, directly under him. He would give orders to that emir or this emir to do this and do that, and those emirs, those governors had the power, had the soldiers. It's very important to understand that. Because what happened after the murder of Uthman ibn Affan is the body of Uthman ibn Affan in some book was not buried for 3 days in fear. Because people were fearful of those rebels to bury the body of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Then after that, these rebels wanted to give the bay'ah to one of the three sahaba that they liked. And we know the people of Al-Kufa, they liked Talha bin Ubaidillah. The people of Al-Basra liked Al-Zubayr ibn Al-Awwam. And the people of Egypt, they liked Ali ibn Abi Talib. So they went to one after the other. And they went to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and they said, there is nobody is better than you to become a Khalifa. You are the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are his son-in-law. You are a scholar. You are Hujjah. You are well-known in knowledge. And he refused the bay'ah completely after the death of Uthman ibn Affan. It was not normal times. It was not times that anybody, number one, would want to go into that position. And then what kind of bay'ah is this when Medina itself, the capital of Islam, is controlled by rebels that just killed the Khalifa, that just killed the utmost authority in the Muslim world? So Ali ibn Abi Talib refused the bay'ah, and this is recorded actually in all the sources without dispute, that he did not want to become a Khalifa. They went to Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and they found complete rejection from Az-Zubayr. They went to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Now these are the Sahaba that were from Ahl al-Shura, and only the fourth one was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas that was still alive at that time. And Talha refused, Az-Zubayr refused, they went to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and he refused, under the threat of killing him, if he did not accept the bay'ah. Then they said the only one left of Ahl al-Shura was Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. So they went to Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab. And Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab refused to become a Khalifa. So all of these people were offered the Khilafah. And it's important to know that, because there is some accusation in history books that Az-Zubayr or Talha wanted the Khilafah, and that's why they opposed Ali ibn Abi Talib. Well, they were offered the Khilafah, and they did not want to become Khalifa. They did not want to take that position. The rebels were anxious. Who can be a Khalifa if these did not become a Khalifa? Who can have enough power and support in the Muslim world to become a Khalifa? Is Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. If these people, these kibar al-Sahaba, these leadership of the Sahaba did not accept the Khilafa, then Muawiyah can be a Khalifa. Or some other Amir outside Medina. They did not like that idea. The other thing is now people, some of them are mesmerized by this propaganda of the rebels against Uthman ibn Affan, and some of them do not know the truth about Uthman, and some of them are supporting the rebels. Now, if the Muslim world are left without a Khalifa, everybody will turn against those rebels, and those rebels will have to face the wrath of the rest of the Muslim Ummah. So they had to have a Khalifa. And they went to Ali ibn Abi Talib over and over again. And the last time they threatened Ali ibn Abi Talib with killing him. And they said, we will kill you. Like we killed Uthman. And then we will go to the second one and then we will kill them. Until we find somebody that will satisfy and we will become a Khalifa. So Ali thought about it. His duty would call on him to accept this position because the Muslim world had to go back in order. Somebody has to put the Muslim Ummah back on track. This is a great fitna that derails the progress of the Muslims and derails the entire religion of Islam. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, I will accept only if the other kibar sahaba, the other elite of the sahaba would come and give me the bay'ah. They will have to give me the bay'ah. So they went to Az-Zubayr and Talha. And this is also an important point in the story that we will have to go back to. They said, if you don't go and give your bay'ah to Ali, then you're dead. And you will be also killed. You have this, this has to happen. We have to have a khalifa. And since Ali accepted, then you have to go and give the bay'ah. Az-Zubayr and Talha, they went and gave the bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And the first person that gave the bay'ah was Talha ibn Ubaidillah, then followed by Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Then some of the Sahaba did not give bay'ah at that time, even under the threat of murder, including Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. Now, including Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab, the other two major Sahaba. Why is that? They had no objection to the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But their objection was to the circumstances and the way this bay'ah is performed with. The bay'ah of Islam, as we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not leave a khalifa, did not recommend, but he hinted to Abu Bakr and made him an imam during salah. And then the bay'ah was of after shura. Now, Abu Bakr gave direct recommendation for the khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab. Umar had a council of six sahaba, and then the seventh would be Abdullah ibn Umar, was the condition that he would not become a khalifa. Now, this is a new thing. This is a murdered khalifa. This is something cut off. And these are rebels that are controlling the city of Medina. And they want bay'ah to happen under those circumstances. And Sa'd and Abdullah refused to give the bay'ah. Zubair and Talha gave their bay'ah, as they described it later on, with the swords on our necks. They gave the bay'ah with the swords of the rebels on their necks. Most of the people of Umayyah fled Medina during the murder of Uthman ibn Affan, fearing the retaliation, because this rebel was against Umayyah. So the people of Umayyah also did not give the bay'ah, because they fled the city of Medina, and part of the Ansar, part of the people of Al-Ansar, did not give their bay'ah as well. And Ali was given the Khilafah on the 25th day of the Hijjah, after the murder of Uthman, about 7 days. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib came up to the pulpit, to the minbar, and he gave the khutbah that the Khalifa gives at the time of appointment. And this is the khutbah of Ali, the first khutbah after he became a Khalifa. After Alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنزَلَ كِتَابًا حَالِيًا فِيهِ الْخَيْرُ وَالشَّرُ فَخُذُوا بِالْخَيْرُ وَدَعُوا الشَّرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought this book that is clarifying, this book is a clarification between what is good and what is evil. So grasp on the things, grab the things that are good for you and leave those that are evil. Then he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ حُرَمًا غَيْرَ مَجْهُولًا. Now, he's speaking to an audience, most of them are rebels that are in control of Al-Madinah with power, with force. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made things that are well known haram, sacred, they have sanctity. And he said, وَفَضَّلَ, he had many things that had sanctity, had sacred position. But he said, وَفَضَّلَ حُرُمَةَ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْحُرَمِ كُلِّهَا. But he said, the sanctity of a soul, a Muslim soul, is above all things that are made sacred. So he's telling them that what you just did is basically stabbing this in the heart, is taking the sanctity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put above all and destroyed it and killed the soul of the leader, Uthman ibn Affan, of the leader of the Muslim Ummah. And then he continued. He said, Al-Muslimu, repeated the hadith, he said, Al-Muslimu man salima al-Muslimuna min yadihi wa lisanih. He said, the Muslim, as defined by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is the one that Muslims are safe of his hand and his tongue. Muslims are safe from his hand and his tongue. He said, وَلَا يَحِلُّ أَذَى الْمُسْلِمِ. Harm to Muslim is not halal. Harm to Muslim is not haram, is haram, except for what is called for by the Sharia. And then he said, وَخَاصَّةُ أَحَدُكُمِ الْمَوْتِ, that your destiny is going to death. Everybody's going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِنَّ النَّاسَ أَمَامَكُمْ وَإِنَّمَا مِنْ خَلْفِكُمُ السَّاعَ. He said, you see this world, the people in front of you, but behind you is the day of judgment, is the hour of judgment when you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the second thing that happened during the events of the bay'ah of Uthman, and the Medina being under the very control, and now the Khalifa had some issues to deal with, some very important issues to deal with this tribulation, with this ummah that is in turmoil right now. So Ali ibn Abi Talib had a responsibility, brothers and sisters, that is beyond description. He had a mess on his hand, for the lack of better term, in this khilafah, in this ummah. He had to put things together. His priority was to mend and repair this broken ummah, this ummah that is filled with tribulation. And that was priority number one to him. However, some of the Sahaba had a different priority. And here is some of the event that happened. We remember when those killers, those murderers, went to the house of Uthman. There was Uthman, and there was his wife, Naila bint al-Farafisa, radiallahu anhuma. And Naila, his wife, was with him, and when they raised the sword to kill Uthman, she put her hand in front of them to prevent them from committing this murder. And what happened is the sword fell on her and cut her fingers and part of her palm. So what Naila did is she took her fingers and she took the shirt, the garment of Uthman that is filled with blood of Uthman, and she wrapped them together and she sent it to a man that had power, a man that had some influence and had the means to take care of those rebels. And she sent it to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan with a message. And she sent that message and she said, "Anta waliyud dam." You are responsible for the blood of Uthman. Means that the revenge against the blood, the punishment for the people that killed Uthman is your responsibility. It's something because he is from the people of Umayyah. Now, this is not vigilante at this point. This is iman. This is deen. Because if somebody is killed from any family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقَدْ جَعَلْنَا لِوَلِيِّهِ سُلْطَانًا. There is a wali. There has to be somebody responsible. And that person who is responsible can actually either forgive the person that killed the victim, or can take the diya, the money penalty, or he can allow that person to be killed in qisas, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So Naila said, "You are the wali of the blood of Uthman. I made you the responsible party for the blood of Uthman." And she sent Nu'man ibn Bashir, a sahabi, a glorious sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She sent him with this message to Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. He reached Dimashq, he reached Asham, on a day of a Friday. And people are in the masjid. And he goes directly to the emir and he spread the shirt of Uthman with the blood all over it in front of Muawiyah. And he said, "Anta waliyud dam. You are responsible for this. You are responsible for taking care of those killers, of bringing those killers to justice." So Muawiyah, what he did is he hangs the shirt of Uthman with the blood and the fingers of Naila on the minbar. And that stayed on the minbar for about a month, and gathering the people of Dimashq and the people of Asham and calling them to gather, to prepare, to take care of the killers of Uthman. There is no da'wah for khilafah here. He's not calling to for himself to become a khalifa or a leader. He is calling people to gather together to deliver justice and punishment against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. And gathered for him 60,000 fighters weeping and ready for fighting against the killers of Uthman. Ali radiallahu anhu priority was that this is an ummah where these rebels came from outside Medina, but now they are in charge of Medina. These people came from Basra, from Kufa, and from Asham, from Misr, from Egypt. And they settled in Al-Medina and they committed the crime against Uthman ibn Affan. Now, as a khalifa, Ali had the duty to repair the problems in Al-Ansar. Now, why these rebels came to Medina in the first place? That tells Ali ibn Abi Talib that there is a problems out there. There are things that are making people angry, justly or unjustly, but people are not happy. Otherwise, nobody can gather 1,800 fighters to come and kill the Khalifa. So there is some problems out there. And somebody is responsible for these problems. And to repair the Muslim Ummah, then these problems have to be taken care of. So the Sahaba had different priority. The Sahaba said to Ali ibn Abi Talib that you have to punish the murderers first. That the first thing that needs to be done is these murderers have to be killed and punished before anything else happens. And that was the very beginning of this fitna. Ali ibn Abi Talib felt that the control in Medina is for those rebels. To trying to do anything against those rebels who are in control will lead to a slaughter, will lead to a crime after a crime, will lead to the murder of the Sahaba that are in Medina, because these rebels had the power. And then he felt that this will make people even more divided and will lead to more tribulation trying to kill these people. And we will see during our study that Ali radiallahu anhu had a very sharp vision and very clear vision to the psychology of these people and the psychology of their tribes that are supporting them. And he was right in what he thought. And he said, he asked people to wait until things calm down, until he has power, real power, not only name power as a Khalifa. He wanted to have real control over the Muslim Ummah, then he can retaliate and deliver the just punishment against those who are responsible for the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. The Sahaba had a different issue, had a different priority. Their priority was to deliver justice first. So what happened? There was mostly Kibar al-Sahaba. Well, I'm going into that in detail. So maybe we can just delay some of the questions to the end, but maybe I'm taking too much time in explanation. So these came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and those Jama'at al-Sahaba that came were among them were Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. And they said, Ali, our bay'ah is conditional. We gave you the bay'ah, but our bay'ah has conditions. He said, what is this condition? They said, الثأر لعثمان, to revenge for Uthman. It was the blood of Uthman. Somebody needs to be punished for that murder. So Ali said, لست أجهل ما تعلمون. I'm not ignorant. This is not something that I don't see. ولكني كيف أصنع بقوم يملكوننا ولا نملكهم. He said, these people, what do you want me to do with these people who own us and we don't own them? They have control over us. We don't have control over them. The murderers of Uthman. And he said, "Ha hum ha'ulai, qad tharat ma'ahum 'ubdanukum wa thabat ilaykum a'rabukum wa hum khalalakum yasumunakum ma sha'u. Fa hal tarawna mawdi'an liqudrah 'ala shay'in mimma turidun?" He's asking those who are asking him to kill these rebels. He said, you know what? I see what you see, but your servants and the people of Medina are now with them. And the Bedouins around Medina and many of the Arab tribes are with them. And they are over you. They are in Medina. They're telling you what to do. I mean, he is reminding these two Sahaba, is your bay'ah. They drag you to come and give the bay'ah. They have control over you. He said, do you see? He's asking them, do you see that I have any capacity in doing what you're asking me to do? Do you think I can do it? And they said, no. La. قالوا لا. No, you can't do it. He said, فَوَاللَّهِ لَا أَرَى إِلَّا رَأْيًا تَرَوْنَهُ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا لَا أَرَى إِلَّا رَأْيًا تَرَوْنَهُ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. He said, I will do what you see fit. I join you in this concern. I want to do this. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ أَمْرُ جَاهِلِيَّةِ. This is a time, these people are people of Jahiliyyah, and this crime is a crime of Jahiliyyah. This is against the people of Umayyah. This is Asabiyyah. This is not present in Islam. This is what happened against Uthman ibn Affan. And he said, and then you see that this issue, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ حُرِّكَ عَلَى أُمُورٍ. It's splitting people apart. It's splitting the gathering, the group of Muslims. فِرْقَةٌ تَرَى مَا تَرَوْنَ وَفِرْقَةٌ تَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ. People that agree with you and people that don't agree with you, and a group that don't see either one is right. He said, there are many groups now among Muslims that have different opinions about what should happen. He said, حَتَّى تَهْدَأَ النَّاسِ وَتَقَعَ الْقُلُوبُ مَوَاقِعَهَا وَتُؤْخَذِ الْحُقُوقِ. Just give me time until things are calm. He wants time for tranquility to come back. And then he said, I will take the do right out of them. Then I will take care of them. And he felt that that was not satisfactory to the Sahaba. Now the Sahaba had, if you have to think about what was going on through their mind, they're not only anger against the murderers of Uthman, but there is deep guilt. How did they let that happen? And they are alive. How would they, now this is Khalifa Rasulullah. Would they let Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be treated that way and they're alive? So their Muslim duty is to protect the Khalifa the same way they protected Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is Talha bin Ubaidillah? Talha bin Ubaidillah has got a paralyzed right hand because he defended the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the day of Uhud. And when the day of Uhud was finished, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, he said, Al-yawmu yawmu Talha. Today is the day of Talha. He would put his life for this deen, for this religion. Who is Az-Zubair? When Az-Zubair took his shirt, people counted 70 plus wounds in his upper body only. And they said, what is that, Zubair? Scary view. He said, Hadha Uhud. This is the day of Uhud. He put his body in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for protection. These people had deep anger and resentment against those who violated the sanctity of Medina, violated the sanctity of a human soul, and violated the sanctity of the Khilafah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they had deep resentment to themselves. How did they let that happen without putting their lives before Uthman? So they wanted something done, and they wanted it done now. And that was their psychology. That was their state of mind at that time. Ali had a different view and a different responsibility. His responsibility is to restore Khilafah, not to increase the tribulation among Muslims. So they said, إِنَّ عَلِيًّا لَمُسْتَغْنٍ بِرَأِيهِ وَأَمْرِهِ عَنَّا. Ali does not care about what we think, or what he's going to do what Ali wants to do. He started resenting Ali for not following their recommendations. And they said, we have to go outside Medina and we have to put things where they belong. We have to take care of things. So Ali ordains, puts a decree that none of Quraysh can leave Medina. None of Quraysh can leave the borders of Medina. Everybody has to stay in Medina. He doesn't want the fitna to spread. He wants to contain it. It's bad enough as it is. He doesn't want more lives to be lost during this struggle. So they came to Ali ibn Abi Talib and they said that now we are the prisoners. Now you are putting us under curfew, if you will. And these rebels are roaming Medina at will, at large, they're free. So Ali ibn Abi Talib said, just calm down, just let me handle the situation. He wants to have control at least over Medina. So on the third day after he became a Khalifa, he goes on the minbar and he said, Ya ma'ashar al-A'rabi al-haqu bi-miyahikum. O people of the Bedouin, go back to your tribes. Thank you very much. He didn't say that obviously. But he said, just go back to where you came from. It's whatever you came to do is done. Ali is a Khalifa now. And Uthman is killed. Just go back. So the people of As-Saba'iyya came and they said, we will not leave. They started gathering among themselves and they started negotiating. What's going to happen? As-Saba'iyya said, where are we going to go? If we go to where we came from, there are people that are going to kill us. So we have to protect our presence in the Khilafah, under Ali. Ali is the Khalifa, Ali is in charge, so we will stay in Medina. And as long as we are in Medina, nobody will come and get us. Some of them, like Al-Ashtar al-Nukhi, who played a major role in the fitna later on. He was one of the great fighters of the Arabs, and he was a Muslim that participated in some of the fatwa. He said, why don't we just go to a place and just lock ourselves, and we can protect ourselves in there. Abdullah ibn Sabah said, بِئْسَ الرَّأْيِ ذَاكَ. Then you will, this is a bad opinion, then you will put us as a target. They would be, we would be sitting duck for those who want to come and take revenge against us. So they said, what can we do? He said, mingle among the people of Medina and spread in the army of Ali. Become as part of the army of the Khilafah. And Ali had no power other than few, the entire army that he could gather was about 700 people. And then the rest of that was of these people that came in rebellion into Al-Madinah. Then Ali ibn Abi Talib, as he wanted to restore, to stabilize and restore order, he decided to appoint new governors everywhere. The first thing he wanted to do is to demote everybody that Uthman had. Since there is a problem out there and he wants to stabilize, he wants anger in the Ansar to go away. So the first thing he did that he wanted to do is to demote everybody, is to make everybody step down and appoint new emir everywhere. And this was an opinion of Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah, who he came to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and he said, Ya Ali, Al-Mughira is an Umayyad, he's from Umayyah, and he's a supporter of Uthman. But he came to Ali and he said, Ya Ali, inna laka alayya haqq al-ta'a. I gave you my bay'ah and now you are my khalifa and I have to obey you. I have to give you mashura, I have to give you recommendation. He said, I recommend for you to leave Muawiyah where he is. Leave Muawiyah as Amir over Ash-Sham. And leave Ibn Amir over Basra. And leave everybody where they are. Leave them. The princes, the umara, the governors that Uthman had, leave them wherever they are, leave them as umara. And bring the bay'ah. Bring the pledge of Al-Ansar. Now only the people of Medina gave the bay'ah, but the bay'ah did not come from Al-Ansar yet. So most of the territories are still, they don't even know that Uthman was killed. Most of them, there is no media obviously at that time, there is no satellite TVs, it takes time. And this is only 1 week after the murder of Uthman. So he said to Ali, go and send them letters, tell them that you will stay Amir under me and I'm the new Khalifa, send me the bay'ah. So that way you will stabilize and strengthen your Khilafah. He said, and then after that, once you have strong control, then demote them and let them go away and replace them with new governors. And then the next day, Al-Mughira came to Ali and he said, I think I gave you wrong advice yesterday. Maybe you should replace all of them now. So Abdullah ibn Abbas comes to Ali. Ali and Abdullah ibn Abbas are cousins, first cousins. They're awlad am. So Ali said to Ibn Abbas, he said, Al-Mughira came to me yesterday and told me so and so, and he came to me today and told me such and such. Abbas said, yesterday he was telling you the truth, and today he was lying to you. He said, what do you think, Abdullah? Abdullah ibn Abbas is a very wise man, and he's a scholar in Islam. He said, I see to stabilize them, to keep them where they are. And then when you're strong enough, then to replace them with the governors that you want. Now, if you know Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib does not deceive, and does not cheat, does not lie, and does not do something while he's hiding something else in his heart. So he listened to the second opinion. And the first thing he did is starting changing this umara. He sent Uthman ibn Hunayf to al-Basra instead of Abdullah ibn Amir. So Uthman ibn Hunayf came to al-Basra and he was received without any resistance. And he said, Uthman is murdered and the new Khalifa that was given the bay'ah is Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he wanted the Basra to give the bay'ah to Ali. Part of al-Basra did and the other part didn't. So there was division in al-Basra, in the city of al-Basra. The governor that he sent to Al-Yemen is Ubaydullah ibn Abbas, his cousin. And in Al-Yemen, there was a man called Ya'li ibn Umayyah. Ya'li is from the people of Umayyah, like most of the governors at the time of Uthman. So he went to Ya'li ibn Umayyah and he gave him the order of Ali to be to step down and to make Ubaydullah ibn Abbas a governor over Yemen. Ya'li submitted. And he stepped down, but he had the money that he collected of al-Kharaj, of the treasury of al-Yemen. And he did not deliver that to Ubaydullah ibn Abbas. He took it with him. And he went to Mecca. And that money that was brought from al-Yemen would play a major role in preparing an army later on known as the Army of Mecca. So he submitted his wilaya, his imara, but he took the money with him and went to Mecca. The third one was Qais ibn Sa'd. Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, we know who Sa'd ibn Ubadah is, one of the elite of al-Ansar. And Qais ibn Sa'd is the holder of the banner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the day of Fatih Mecca, on the conquest of Mecca. So he was a great Sahabi. I mean, all these choices of Ali ibn Abi Talib are superb people, are people that are undoubtful and beyond reproach. So he sends Qais ibn Sa'd to Egypt. Egypt had no emir. Why? Remember what happened, that Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh was the emir. Then Uthman demoted Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh and he appointed who? Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. And then the whole fitness increased at that time. So Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh he knew that he was being stepped down anyway. And then Qais ibn Sa'd came to Masr, to Egypt. Qais ibn Sa'd, after he went to Egypt, he was received into again a division. Most of Al-Fustat, which was the capital where Cairo is today, submitted to Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah. May Allah be pleased with both of them. But there was a group in a place called Kharabta. This group decided to make what is called in Deen I'tizal. They will not join and they will not refuse. They will stay on what's called Al-Hiyat. They will stay not with those people and not with that group. And they gathered themselves in a place called Kharabta, and they played a very important role later on in what happens in Egypt during this turbulation and turmoil. Al-Kufa had already Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. But Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is a man that, if you go to the book of Al-Fitna, in any Sahih, you will see that most of the hadith were recited upon Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said, on the authority of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such and such. So he knew everything that is to know about Al-Fitna. And the very first thing he did when he heard Uthman was killed is he took the bay'ah for Ali in Al-Kufa. The first thing, he secured Al-Kufa in bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he said to Ali, he said, Al-Kufa is yours. So Ali ibn Abi Talib keep him in his position as governor over Al-Kufa. Then the third one goes to Dimashq. A man going to tell Muawiyah to step down, who was in there for 20 years. Now Muawiyah not only is would say clinging to this imara, but now he has a new duty. He was given by Naila, as we said, the shirt of Uthman, who was hanging in his minbar, telling him that he is responsible for the murderers of Uthman. And there is a khalifa that's saying, let's delay this, let's put this off. So there is a conflict, major conflict, between what's going to happen. And the conflict is not whether who's going to be a khalifa at this point at all. So this is a very important point to understand. The conflict is, what's going to happen to those murderers? So he sent to him a man called Sahl ibn Hunayf. Sahl ibn Hunayf goes there and he sees an army waiting for him in Tabuk, on the borders of Al-Sham. And they said, man ant? He said, Amir al-Sham. I am the governor of Al-Sham. And they said, إِذَا كَانَ عُثْمَانُ بَعَثَكَ فَحَيْلَ بِكَ. If Uthman sends you, then you are welcome. Come on, we'll take you to Al-Sham. We'll take you to Dimashq. وَإِنْ كَانَ غَيْرَهُ بَعَثَكْ فَرْجِعْ. But if somebody else sent you, then go back. He said, did you not know that this is what happened? Uthman is killed? They said, we know. So that means, go back. So they returned Sahl ibn Hunayf back. And they did not give the bay'ah. And Muawiyah was in Dimashq, and he did not give bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So now if you look at the map, you will see Al-Yemen is with Ali, Al-Basra is with Ali, Al-Kufa is with Ali, and Al-Misr is mostly with Ali. And the only territory that is left with that bay'ah is Al-Sham. And that will stay there like this for about a couple of years, because some other events that are even more serious than not giving the bay'ah will take place. What happens is Muawiyah received a messenger from Ali. Ali knew that Muawiyah rejected his bay'ah. So he sent him a man, a righteous man known as Sir al-Juhni. And he asked him for bay'ah. He asked him to unify the Muslim world, unify the Muslim will, and to give the bay'ah to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he goes and asks Ali and asks Muawiyah for this. And Muawiyah would only answer him with words crying over Uthman. He is telling this messenger, that's not going to happen before Uthman, revenge is taken care of. Because the punishment for those who killed Uthman is taken care of. Then he left that messenger for 3 months in Dimashq. And after the 3 months, as is narrated in At-Tabari, he gives this messenger, Sirah, he gave him a tumar. Tumar is like, you know, the tube, the carton tube that they put the pictures in, and it's sealed. And they used it, if they have to have a secret message, they would put it and they will seal it, and on the seal they would put the seal of that emir. So nobody really can even look into that message and know what's in it. With that opening, and if it's opened, then they will know it's open. So he gave him this tumar, and he took people from him, and he said, when you go to Medina, take this to Ali ibn Abi Talib, and once you walk into Medina, raise it and let everybody see that I am sending this to Ali ibn Abi Talib. Let everybody know that this is what I'm sending to Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he sent a man called Al-Absi, Qubaysa Al-Absi. So Qubaysa goes into Medina, and once he goes to Medina, he comes and he raised this message, this tumar, in front of everybody. And on the tumar, it's written, Min Muawiyah ila Ali. From Muawiyah to Ali. Now you don't need to open the tumar to know what's in it, if, you know, because he is not addressing Ali as Amir al-Mu'mineen. So on this, there is a proverb, there is a saying in Arabic, is you can tell what's in the letter from the heading, from the what's on the server. And this is the same thing, is you can tell that there is basically not much in there that Ali wanted in that letter. So Ali opens the tumar and he finds nothing. There is nothing in this. There's not even a letter, there is nothing. There is only that cover saying from Muawiyah to Ali. Basically, you are getting nothing. And then Muawiyah looked at the Qubaysa. He knows that he had some answers. He said, "Maza waraak? What is behind you? What's going on in Al-Sham?" Qubaysa said, "Wa ana amin? Am I safe? Can I say what I can say without retaliation, without retribution?" Ali said, "Na'am, ar-rusulu aminatun la tuqtal." He said, messengers are always safe. Yes, you are safe. You are not, you cannot, we say, don't kill the messenger. This is even a saying here. You don't kill the messenger. He said, you're a messenger. You cannot be killed. He said, let me tell you what's behind me. You're asking me what's behind me. He said, "Wara'i 60,000 shaykhin yabki tahta qamisi Uthman, wa huwa mansubun lahum qad albasuhu min barad Dimashq." He said, behind me 60,000 person crying under the shirt of Uthman, and the shirt of Uthman is on the minbar. Ali said, "Minni yatlibuna dama Uthman?" They want me, they want that from me, that revenge from me. "Alastu mawtooran kathirati Uthman?" He said, "Don't I am just having the same rights like the inherit, like the heirs of Uthman." He said, "I am one of the heirs of Uthman. I'm asking for the same revenge that they're asking for. I'm seeking the same punishment that they are seeking. And then he turned to Allah and he said, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka min dami Uthman. I am innocent from the blood of Uthman. From me, they're asking me for the punishment against Uthman. He said, ukhruj. Tell Qubaysa, leave, go. Qubaysa said, wa ana amin? Am I safe to leave? Are you going to give me safety to leave Medina? He said, wa anta amin. You are safe. Ali is very disgusted with this position. He's trying to restore order, and here are these people telling him that he is responsible, and he is protecting the killers of Uthman. And in fact, they are actually in charge of Al-Madina. So Al-Absi went to the streets of Medina after he'd taken a promise from Ali he will not be killed. And he said, قَتَلَ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ عُثْمَان قَتَلَ اللَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ عُثْمَان May Allah kill whoever killed Uthman. So the Saba'iyya heard that now Saba'iyya, those people, that the rebels against Uthman, they said, وَافِدُ الْكَلْبُ وَافِدُ الْكِلَابِ فَاقْتُلُوهُ This dog, this is a messenger of dogs, kill him. They don't want anything to move the feeling against them and remind people of the murder they committed against Uthman ibn Affan. And he called upon his tribe and people gathered upon him and they tried to kill the messenger of Muawiyah until his tribe, his clan pulled them out, the clan of Mudar, whoever was in Medina. And he said, Wallahi ma amsaw hatta urifa dhullu fihim. He said, Wallahi, I know that humiliation is known in their faces. They now are scared. This is a defining moment for the rebels. They know. Now they're scared. Now they are really scared. They know that these people are not going to leave them alone. They have 60,000 fighters waiting for them. Wherever they go, they're going to follow them and they're going to get them, and they're refusing to give a bay'ah to Ali until they're dead. So they are not leaving Ali. They are not leaving Medina. And that was the decision of Abdullah ibn Sabah. Then what happened is Talha bin Ubaidillah and Zubayr, who are very distressed and angry with the delay of taking the punishment against the killers of Uthman, they came to Ali. Ali had a curfew. He said, nobody from Quraysh can leave Medina. So came to Ali and they said, we want to go for Umrah. We want to go to Baytullah al-Haram. Can you prevent us from going to Baytullah al-Haram? This is haram to let people go. So he said, Wallahi ma aradtum al-Umrah. Wallahi, I know that's not what you want. This is not what you're going for. Walakin ikhruja. I mean, they are as important of Sahaba as he is, but now he is the Khalifa. He said, go to Al-Madinah. Go to Mecca. Who's in Mecca? This is the season of Al-Hajj. Most people, most of the Sahaba, most of the people, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are in Mecca. And the mothers of the believers are in Mecca. Aisha, Hafsa, Ummu Salama, Habiba, they are all in Mecca. So these two of Kibar al-Sahaba, of the elite of Sahaba, went to Mecca. Aisha was in Mecca and she was obviously Umm al-Mu'mineen. She is the mother of al-believers. So she heard what happened. People came to her and told her the rebels came and they murdered Uthman and his house over his mushaf and the sanctity and the safety of his house. So Aisha went back to Mecca. She was on her way to Al-Madinah and she went back to Mecca. And she said nothing until she went to Al-Haram, to Masjid Al-Haram. And then she went into a Hijr Ismail. You know what Hijr Ismail is? School for children and teens at those same hours. But there is almost half a circle in front of Al-Kaaba, which is really part of the Kaaba on its foundation. And this is attached to Al-Kaaba, but now it's not built. So she sat in that place, in Hijr Ismail. And she ordered Al-Hijab. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to not speak to people unless there is a hijab, there is a curtain. So they would put a curtain all around her, and that's how she would address people. So they put curtains all around her, and she gave a speech that is recorded in history as the speech of Aisha. And she said, أيها الناس, after الحمد لله رب العالمين, أيها الناس, إن الغوغاء من أهل الأنصار وأهل المياه وعبيد أهل المدينة اجتمعوا. إن عاب الغوغاء على هذا المقتول بالأمس الأرب واستعمال من حدثت سنه وقد استعمل أسنانهم قبله. They said, she said to them that the trash, الغوغاء is a word in Arabic that describes ignorant people, the lowest of the low. She said, those trash of people, those غوغاء, they gathered and came to Al-Madina. And they killed Uthman. And they said, his crime was that he used people of his relatives. And he used people that are young. These are some of the accusations against Uthman. And she said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that, did that. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used people of his relatives. And he used young people like Usama bin Zayd. So she said, other things, she started reciting the things that they accusation against Uthman, and then she said, فَلَجُّوا. Then he discussed with them, but they were stubborn and mean. وَبَادَرُوا الْعُدْوَانِ وَنَبَى فِعْلُهُمْ عَنْ قَوْلِهِمْ. They were the mu'tadeen. They were the aggressors. They were the oppressors. And their acts translated what's in their hearts. فَسَفَكُوا الدَّمَ الْحَرَامِ واستحلوا البلد الحرام وأخذوا المال الحرام في الشهر الحرام. He said there are four sanctities that's been violated here. The الدم الحرام, the blood of Uthman, which is a sanctified blood as a Muslim, not only as a Khalifa. Then the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sanctity of Al-Madina. Then the sanctity of Al-Mal. They robbed Uthman and they robbed the people of Umayyah from their belongings. Then the month of Dhul Hijjah. Now if there is a war, the war stops in Dhul Hijjah. They said, so they violated all these four sanctities. She said, Wallahi, la isba'u Uthmana khayrun min tibaqi al-ardi amthalahum. The finger of Uthman is better than the whole earth filled with them, filled with people of their likes. فَنَجَاءُوا مِنْ اجْتِمَاعِكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ حَتَّى يُنَكِّلَ بِهِمْ غَيْرَهُمْ وَيُشَرِّدُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ. والله لو إن للذي اعتدوا عليه ذنبا لخلص منه كما يخلص الذهب من خبثه والثوب من درنه. She said, the person who they violated, Uthman, if he is from sins like the gold, the pure gold out of nothing to impurify it. He said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Uthman, ما ضر عثمان ما فعل بعد اليوم. Uthman is living the glad tidings of paradise. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only sahabi that he said about that whatever Uthman does in the future is not going to be counted against him in the time of Ghazwat Tabuk. So Abdullah ibn Amir, who was wali of Basra, was in Mecca. He said, أَنَا لَهَا أَوَّلُ طَالِبٍ. For the punishment against those, I am the first to come out and respond to you. And then people started coming to Aisha and given her pledges that they will retaliate against the killers of Uthman ibn Affan. At that time, Talha and Az-Zubair came to Mecca, and their opinions were like the opinion of Aisha, is justice has to be done. And justice has to be done by who? By the Khalifa. By Ali ibn Abi Talib, who's supposedly in charge. But here's these two Sahaba, Talha and Zubair, are telling her, Aisha radiallahu anha, Umm al-Mu'mineen, Aliyun maghloobun ala amri. Ali can't do anything. Ali doesn't have control over Medina. And in that there is truth. Ali cannot do what needs to be done. And that is punishing those killers of Uthman. So we have to do it. It falls upon us to deliver what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in His kitab, وَلْيَكُمْ فِي الْقِصَاصِ حَيَاةٌ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These people have to get punishment. And in that there is life for those who know. So that was the first division against the Sahaba, and they gathered an army in Mecca. And that army was supported with the money that was brought from Yemen by Ya'li ibn Umayyah. And this army that gathered with Abdullah with Talha ibn Ubaidillah and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, and Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha was known in history as Jayshu Mecca, the army of Mecca. Now this army is very important to understand. They are not against Ali. Their opinion is Ali cannot do what needs to be done because he is controlled by those rebels. So they have to do it because the Khalifa is really not in charge. Ali, he has a different policy. This is his Khilafah. He is in charge. He is the one to call the shots. He is the one to tell people what is a priority and what is not. And Ali is afraid of no death. Ali is not afraid that if he tells those Thawar, those rebels, then they will kill him. Ali, if you read the whole history of Ali as we studied last session, he's not afraid. But if the rebels killed him, then this fitna will expand and get worse and worse, and more Sahaba will be killed. So he's trying to put things down and put tranquility. And they want the revenge. They want the punishment to be delivered. So they said, where do we go? How do we take these people, these rebels? We cannot attack Medina. This is not the way to do it. Now some of these rebels fled to Basra. Some of them fled to Kufa. Some of them fled to Mosul, where they came from. But none of them, obviously, went to Asham, because there is certain death waiting for them in Asham. So they started negotiating where to go and how to control the Ansar for this deen, for this ummah, and put the rebellion down. Now they have an army, and Ali does not have an army. But they do. So they have power, and Ali doesn't have power. So they have to take care of things. And it's very important to understand their state of mind. So they sat together and said, do we go to Al-Kufa? Do we go to Asham? Where do we go? They said, well, Asham is already under the control of Muawiyah. There is no sense of wasting that army and to go to Asham. Muawiyah wants the same thing we want. That is the punishment of those rebels. Abdullah ibn Amir said, let me take you to Al-Basra, because I have people in Al-Basra. He was the governor of Al-Basra. He said, I will get you support in Al-Basra, and I will let you help. I will let you have control over there, and then we will start by punishing the people of Al-Basra, and then move on. Punishing the people of Al-Basra that were responsible for the murder of Uthman ibn Affan. So, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers, consulted and decided, after the request of Talha bin Ubaidillah and Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, that they should be with this army when it moves. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in al-Quran, الرسول أولى بالمؤمنين من أنفسهم وأزواجه أمهاتهم, that the believers are subject to the wilaya of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are the mothers of the believers. So they said, if you want to do this and punish only the murderers and not create turmoil, then you have to have a figure of authority that all Muslims respect, without that exception. And who is that? It's not Az-Zubayr. It is not Talha. There is some tribal things. But Aisha and Hafsa and Umm Salama and Habiba, there is no dispute. These are the, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their mothers. Can anybody fight his mother? Does anybody will break the sanctity of his own mother? It cannot happen. So they asked Aisha and the mothers of the believers to come out with them to go to Al-Basra. Aisha, and we will see that from many phrases, she wanted to rectify the situation and put peace. She is not, radiallahu anha, interested in more violence and more blood. She's only interested in justice and to restore the strength and peace as her duty of mother of the believers. So she decided to go with this army of Mecca into Basra. And she asked the rest of the mothers of the believers to join her. And Hafsa responded. Hafsa said, I will go with you. And the rest said, no, we will go back to Al-Madinah after Al-Hajj. Hafsa decided to go with Aisha into this army, and here comes her wali. Now, although Umm al-Mu'mineen Hafsa bint Umar bin al-Khattab, she is Umm al-Mu'mineen, but she has to have a wali. And her wali after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was Umar, her father. Now, after Umar was killed, who is her wali? Abdullah ibn Umar, her brother. Abdullah ibn Umar did not give bay'ah to Ali, and he wanted to make i'tizal. He wanted to give, to not do anything. He's not going to join any parts of this tribulation. So he came to his sister and tell her, you are not going with them. You are not going to be part of fitna. You are not going to be part of any tribulation. No matter how noble your intentions are, no matter how pure your intentions are, you are not going with them. So Hafsa sends to Aisha and she said, mana'ani Abdullah. Abdullah did not let me go. So Aisha was the only mother of the believers that headed with the army of Mecca to Basra. So this army now has Aisha, has Abdullah, has Zubayr ibn al-Awwam and his son obviously Abdullah, has Talha ibn Ubaidillah and his son Muhammad ibn Talha. And they're all from the great Sahaba and from the people that have no doubts about their intentions, their belief and their sincerity to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to this deen. Ali at the same time was preparing to go to Asham. Muawiyah's response to him, rejection of al-bay'ah. Now all the Ansar are in the hand of Ali except Asham. So he wanted to go to Asham and to rectify the situation with Muawiyah. And he went to Ar-Rabza, a place outside Al-Madinah where Abu Dharr died. And he wanted to move on and start gathering an army, a force, to go convince Muawiyah to join in the Ummah and then unify the Muslim Ummah and then deal with those rebels. And they constituted those rebels most of the army of Ali because he had no support. Ali had no support after the army of Mecca was formed because a lot of the Sahaba went there and many tribes supported the army of Mecca. But Ali did not have a big army. His army was about 3,000 people in total. So he had a very small army with him. Then he heard as he's heading to Asham that Az-Zubayr and Talha are heading to Al-Basra to start punishing the rebels against Uthman ibn Affan. So he said, we have to catch up with them. We have to stop this. This is getting out of control. This is getting out of hand. The Muslim Ummah cannot have two armies and they cannot have two leaders or three leaders and many people doing different things at the same time. And he decided to change course and trying to catch up with the army of Mecca. And that is the prelude to what happens in Islamic history in the 36th year of Hijrah, what is known as Ahdathul Basra, the events of Al-Basra. And that would be the starting of the fitna where the Muslims, subhanAllah, started facing each other on the battlefield. And we will, inshallah, go into that next session. I apologize for my shortcomings. And I astaghfirullah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. This is a very difficult subject. And I intentionally started not to try to put so many details and trying to prepare a presentation that is really not detailed about this fitna. Because many of the scholars said that you should not really go into the events of fitna. Then after I prepared that, I found that that's even more confusing and much more perplexing if you don't know exactly what happened. So I apologize to you about breaking my promise to you for not shorten this and make it very brief. And inshallah, next session we will go into what happened in Al-Basra where the army of Mecca faces the governor of Al-Basra by Ali Uthman ibn Hunayf, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Yes, questions? Around 3,000, yes. Most of them, some of them were Sahaba, like Ammar ibn Yasir, Al-Qa'qa' ibn Amr, remember the hero of Al-Qadisiyah. There were many of the Sahaba also that went with Ali, his son, obviously, Al-Hassan, Al-Hussein ibn Ali, may Allah be pleased with all of them. But most of the people that sneaked and mingled with the army of Ali were the rebels. Or Ashtar al-Nukhi, were people that actually rebelled, Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr, Muhammad ibn Abi Hudhayfa, people that came to Al-Madinah in complaining about Uthman ibn Affan, that rebelled against Uthman ibn Affan. So a lot of that on that would be why people would take against Ali ibn Abi Talib during this face-off. He said, are you protecting those killers? Are you protecting those rebels? And the truth was, cannot be furthest from what they think. Ali ibn Abi Talib is trying to bring the others into his position so he can get rid of those people. But Ali had no power. We will see that, inshallah, later on in very clear way of what Ali said about his position, inshallah. We have to, whoever wants to pray sunnah, I always feel very guilty for not letting people pray sunnah before Isha. So please go ahead and pray sunnah, those who want to pray sunnah. But if you have a question, go ahead. And we have one, probably one more. Right. Power changed hand later on, obviously, towards Muawiyah, but the initial intention of why Muawiyah broke ranks and did not make bay'ah was not that. It was he wanted the revenge against the people that killed Uthman. And later on, as Zubair and Talha will face Ali and tell him, you have no bay'ah from us, because our bay'ah is conditional that you will kill these people first, and you didn't. So it's not only the position of Muawiyah, some of the Kibar Sahaba joined in into that. Yeah. Az-Zubayr wanted the Khilafah for himself. Some of them said Talha wanted to be a Khalifa. The other, I mean, they're attacking. And we know what some books are written about Aisha, radiyallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. I mean, this is a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified in the Quran, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen, the most beloved person on the face of the earth to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Men and women. And they try to attack her character and attack her intentions, subhanAllah. So it is important to understand that this is all pure. And Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this is difference in ijtihad. This is different in decision making if the intentions is right. And if you make the wrong decision, then you have a reward. But if you make the right decision, you will have two rewards. And that was the difference between Talha, Zubair, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. And we will go into that, inshallah, next session. Adhan al-Isha. Jazakum Allah khair.